Greg and Scott on Radioslot.com. Welcome to the show, coast to coast, nationwide, around the world. Thank you for listening wherever you are. We talk about anything and everything on this show, and if you aren't offended in the first 5 minutes, we'll try harder.
Or you're not listening.
I'm Brian Drake. He's Scott. No Ziggy today.
We're Ziggy free, and we're Scott free, too, because I just lost my headphones.
You did?
Yeah.
How about now?
Oh, perfect.
Okay, I turned up the wrong knob, that's why.
Get your knobs right.
Yeah, I thought I had you
in... It's a theme for life. Get your knobs right.
Yeah, I thought I had you in number two. You're actually in number three.
Yeah, I'm getting demoted every week.
Well, we got a lot to talk about today. We have another girl boss who opened her mouth doing an earnings call and tanked her company's stock. Windows 11 is...
Can't wait for that.
Yeah, Windows 11 is spyware, apparently. The lady who brought us the slut walk has endorsed Donald Trump for president. Consumer confidence plummeting to a six-month low amidst the best economy ever.
Said who? Haircut?
No, the
or bad calf care. Yeah, one of those two.
The president did. Yes, the current pretender in chief. We do have another
corn pop.
Yeah, we have another list. 20 ways American history is repeating. And when I was going through that list, there's actually some good news there. So that might be fun if we have time to get to it. And then women spending $4,000 to scream and beat the ground with sticks in some form of therapy. And for this, you know, this got a lot of...
I want to beat something with sticks.
Well, there was a video...
There's a lot of things I want to beat with sticks.
Yes, I know. There was a video of this going around Twitter, and everybody was like, well, it's just a bunch of liberal women mad at Trump. And I don't think that's the case this time.
You don't think liberal women are mad at Trump?
I think they are, but they're not paying $4,000 to be mad at Trump. They're just gathering on their own. This is a different case, and we may have to debut the first episode of Brian Drake Actually Has Empathy instead of Brian Drake's Naked Cruelty, because I think there's more going on in this case than is on the surface.
That could be your crazy on the way, that you're changing out of... You're changing out of Naked Cruelty into compassion?
No, well, I have compassion in this case. We're gonna definitely see some Brian Drake's Naked Cruelty.
I think I got here. My post-game report already.
All right.
Brought to you by compassion.
Well, you mentioned crazy on the way. Do you have one?
Not so much.
Okay, because I got a good one.
I think mostly it's about my driving usually in the morning, crazy on the way. I hit every light green almost. I think it's the fastest ever I've gotten to the show.
And you were still late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have a talent for that, right? Okay. So other things played into the late.
It was, I understand.
The traffic god helped me. Mm-hmm. I forget his name.
I see.
Jesus, I think. Right. But anyways.
Well, mine was, I have a neighbor that has the Cybertruck, and, you know, there's a lot going around about how those trucks are rusting after you wash them. And he and his kids were out washing the truck, and he was up on the driver's side with...
doesn't wash itself?
No, it doesn't. That's the one thing it doesn't do.
Dude, we got to talk to Musk, man. Yeah. We found a flaw in your design.
That's right. But he, as the kids were... You know, doing the washing, he's there with a leaf blower, you know, blowing hot air onto the vehicle to dry up all the water spots so nothing rusts.
Oh, that's funny.
And I saw that. I was like, okay, I know exactly what he's doing and I know why he's doing it. And that's actually a pretty good solution.
So they're not using a rust-free metal.
It's stainless steel. It's not supposed to rust. I don't. It's a whole thing with that vehicle. And
something's wrong with this story.
All I know are the headlines if you go to YouTube, it's all over YouTube, and it's
I've limited experience with Tesla. But in that limited experience, I usually find that it's user error rather than design fault.
Oh, I sold cars for years. Yeah, I mean, most of the problems were operator error. It was very...
If we could solve the human part of any industry, we'd be golden.
That's right.
And we'd be billionaires.
Right, but we never will. So.
Okay.
That's why, you know, nothing is idiot proof.
Gonna have to find a new...
If you think something is idiot proof, give it to a Marine and he'll find a way to break it.
You love that about the Marines.
So, where do we want to start? Do we want to start with the Cracker Barrel CEO or Windows 11 spying on us? Where should we start?
Let's start with let's do the spyware.
Okay, yeah, this one was interesting. So Windows is coming out with a new update. It's Windows 11, and it has a... where can I get the link to work. So it has some sort of newfangled AI thing built into it, and the upshot is that this new system in Windows 11 is going to track everything you do on your computer, whether it's offline documents or spreadsheets, but especially internet. It's going to track everything, compile it into some sort of report, and then send it to Microsoft.
And China.
And China. And, of course, they're going to use this for some sort of marketing and advertising effort, as so they say. But it is jokingly being referred to as spyware that people are going to voluntarily either install or upgrade to, or, of course, in the future, buy when you buy a new system. And it's like, when does the data collection stop? Or does it ever stop? And why do they keep coming up with new ways to collect data?
In some ways, this is not a story for me, because I kind of assume that this is happening almost everywhere, every application.
This seems to be taking it to another level, though, where it's every keystroke and every website you visit. And
Well, that's how they're going to get our passwords and things like that. But I think most of that stuff's out there. My TV watches me, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Your phone listens to you.
Yeah. My computer, my phone. We were just the other day, I was with a buddy of mine, and we were talking about something. He goes to search, and the first thing that comes up in the search, he barely typed in a letter. Mm-hmm. And the thing that we were talking about showed up as the first option for search. And he was like, check this out. I was like, well, more of the same. I don't know. That is actually why I'm pretty much exclusively Apple products, because they seem to have blocked out most things.
Or they say they have.
Well, I don't have Microsoft.
Yeah.
I mean, I Google Doc and Sheet most of my stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I got DuckDuckGo is my search engine, right, on my Apple computer. I mean, I'm trying to.
So okay. There are some saying that instead of going to Windows, they're going to start specking out a Linux build. Linux is the alternative operating system that you can get that doesn't do all the spying. And they're like,
we'll
just switch over there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like big tech. It's like,
goodbye, Windows.
It's like we used to always say it was the government spying on you, and it's not. They've kind of farmed that out to big tech, and they're doing all the spying.
Well, it's people. It's people. People are self-interested. Whether it's a government or an organization or a company, mm-hmm, they have things that they want, and they're going to do whatever it takes to get what they want.
Right.
And when you assume that, it goes a lot better, because.
Okay. But then it's like, if you know, when I'm researching a book or something, say I need to say, I have a plot about a terrorist getting a nuclear device or something. If I start researching blast radius, technical details of a bomb, stuff like that, where is that going? And because I always make a joke that I have an FBI agent that watches everything I do, and then whenever they're training somebody new, he gets all excited as I type in, you know.
Oh, I'm sure you're on a list somewhere where they're kind of tracking you, and then
they tell the new guy, no, just wait a minute, because then his next search is going to be how to beat writer's block.
Well, and that's probably what keeps you out of trouble, is then they do some more research on you and realize you're doing it for writing books, and then, yeah, he's not a threat.
Yeah.
Now, if they find out that you're buying sulfur and a bunch of weird stuff and trying to make something, mm-hmm, oh, look at all the stuff he bought on Amazon, and he was down at Orchard Supply Hardware. Why all the duct tape, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just kidding.
He bought a whole bunch of pipes.
Yeah. I'm really, I am tired of all the spying, and that's why I use that. You know, I use a typewriter to type my books. You can't hack those. You can't spy on them. And
well, we used to be about privacy and freedom.
And that went out the window years ago.
Yeah, I have to protect my own privacy and my own freedom.
Yeah, you really do have to be proactive then.
Which,
because it's good to know that they're doing this so that you can prepare for it, unless you don't care. I mean, the people that seem to be most upset about this one are probably the ones going to websites they shouldn't be going to, because they don't want that information coming out. And it's like, well, okay, then why are you going to those websites anyway? But, you know, I don't want to make sound like I'm making the argument that you don't have anything to worry about if you're not doing anything, because it shouldn't matter. But
yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, there is that argument. I love that one, because I, you know, every once in a while I'll get the scam where somebody emails me or texts me, or so, we we know who you are. We have your passwords. We know your browser history, and we're going to tell everybody all the inappropriate sites you've been on.
I found one of those in my work email one day. It was in the spam folder, and it was this whole threat, and he included something like, you know, don't go to the cops because I know what I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, this is, I just deleted it. I don't think, I should have sent it to IT.
It's hilarious because if you are that guy and you're going to a bunch of inappropriate sites, then you probably got something to worry about. But I crack up because I don't go to inappropriate sites. I figured it out.
Right.
My dad taught me years ago.
Yeah.
He said, I know exactly how you can never get caught cheating.
Is to not cheat.
Is don't cheat.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, there's a concept.
Right.
Rather than how to get away with stuff, how about you have some morals, some ethics, some, you know, integrity.
Yeah, but still, even then, you know, if they're watching everything, I kind of got a problem with that. So I want to make the
effort to Well, that's the other piece, right? There's your personal piece, and then what freedoms and privacies are other people forcibly taking from you? It's intellectual rape is what it is, or electronic rape. Is they're taking something from or violating you without consent.
And you're paying them to do it.
And worse, without your knowledge. And then you're saying they're taking my money too?
Well, yeah, because you're buying the systems. You're buying the upgrade.
That's why I won't be buying any Windows products. And when I find out somebody's motivation is other than best interest, then I stop buying them. Nike. I don't wear any Nike stuff.
I haven't worn Nikes in years. And I can't remember. And it's not so much what they were into. It's just they were just getting more expensive. And I found stuff that was...
what they're into, just, what they promote, who they hire. They used to be a sports apparel, and that was their main thing. Now they're into politics and all this kind of stuff and slave labor and all. And people want to argue with me. And I was like, no, I don't get time for that.
Who now, when you mention those things, who wants to argue and why? Is it just because they're comfortable with that brand and they don't want
to people? People like to argue. I see. People like to pick the opposite side and what about this? It's not that exciting.
I would figure just talking about shoes and things like that. I'm sure all that stuff is made with slave labor now. So I mean, I don't think you're going to get away from that.
Yeah,
unless you want to pay for something made here, which is going to be more expensive.
Well, it's natural tendency for humans to go negative, be confrontational, self-interested for gain and selfishness. And it's just natural. They want to pick a fight. They want to poke the bear, the whole thing. When you assume that's true, then you can carry yourself differently and play into other things rather than going along with. So, you know, Windows, you want to do this? Great. Go have fun.
Yeah.
I'll be over here.
We'll stay
You'll be over there.
Yeah.
We never shall our money cross.
Right. And we won't update and we'll just wait for the support to run out and then go.
And I found all these other apparel companies where I can buy amazing clothes and I don't have to support slave labor and any of that kind of stuff. Right. And when people want to, you know, pick a fight, it's like walk the way of the way.
Yeah.
In fact, I have a buddy. So this is a while ago. So we're out with our wives and our wives go to use the restroom. And we're saving seats just for the four of us. And this guy walks up and he's about to sit down. And we're like, sorry, these seats are saved. And my friend's between me and this newcomer who's just walked up. He said, oh, are you saving seats now? I said, well, when my wife uses the restroom, I usually like to have a place for her to sit when she comes back. I thought that was going to diffuse it. He's like, oh, well, how about I just sit here until they get back? And he plops down right there, puts his drink on the counter. I was like, wow. I didn't say anything. I just thought, not engaging with this guy. And my buddy, he was even better than me. He didn't even say anything. He just turned and looked at the guy and then turned to look back. But I guess the look was enough that the guy got upset. He's like, you gonna punch me in the face? And my buddy looks like, no. And the guy keeps coming. Well, it looks like you want to punch me in the face.
Boy, somebody was picking a fight.
Oh, he was totally trying to escalate.
Yeah.
And my buddy, he simply said, why would I waste my time with that? And turned away. And then we ignored the guy for a few minutes. And he got nothing from it. And he got bored. And he finally walked away. So it was nice because when our wives came back, we didn't have to ask him to move.
Boy.
So that they could sit down.
See, yeah, you handled it better than I would. I've been reaching for my piece, and it's like, okay, you want a what?
I never reach for my piece. No, de-escalating, because we have to assume that organizations like Windows and such, politics, they're self-motivated, and they're not in your best interest. Mm-mm. And when you assume that, then you can protect yourself.
Yeah.
And keep yourself calmer.
Right. So, now you know. And with that, we have to take a break, so we'll be back after this. Greg and Scott on Radioslot.com, back with our second segment. We have another...
Segment number two.
Yeah, let's talk about Cracker Barrel. Have you ever been to Cracker Barrel? It's a restaurant.
I love Cracker Barrel. Yeah, right. We used to live within a mile of a Cracker Barrel, mm-hmm. and I've tried so many things on their menu, yeah. and... sat on the rocking chairs out on the front porch.
Have you ever felt the place wasn't relevant?
Gosh, I'm not sure I even understand the question.
Okay, because that brings us to where we're at here. Cracker Barrel stock has been in free fall over the past week, according to the New York Post, after its CEO admitted the biscuits and gravy chain is, quote, just not as relevant as it used to be, and failed to show investors a convincing plan to revamp its restaurants. Now, why would you say your restaurant's not relevant?
Because you don't want to be the CEO anymore. What he actually said is he doesn't want to work there anymore.
No. It's a she.
Oh,
we have another girl ruining everything.
I get my pronouns wrong all the time.
So this restaurant, the chain, 54 years old, steadily losing customers over the past decade, and. In response, Cracker Barrel said last Thursday it plans to spend as much as $700 million over the next 3 years to improve things.
Oh, well, that's what they need to be talking about.
Yeah.
Is how they're going to move forward. Because what it sounded like is she lost her creativity and her imagination.
Yes, chief executive.
Ingenuity as to how we're going to move forward and how she is going to lead the company because that's her job.
Yeah, Julie Massino, she took over 9 months ago and said on an investor call, we're not as relevant as we once were. Some of our recipes and processes haven't evolved in decades. Now, how do you need to evolve a recipe like biscuits and gravy and steaks and things like that? You know, I mean, she wants to attract more Gen Z customers. And when you hear somebody say something isn't relevant anymore, I tend to think that what they're really saying is that it's not gay enough. You know, they need to have things that are more gay.
Progressive?
More gay.
How about we use progressive rather than
your
terms?
She wants everything to be gay tranny is what she's talking about.
Oh, my goodness. So, you are not saying it that way.
I am saying it that way. And I have some ideas, Julie, if you want to write these down.
Yeah, I'm sure she's going to call you after that.
Well, the biscuit. I mean, if you want to evolve biscuits and gravy, just instead of, you know, because the recipe's in the name, for heaven's sake, start adding some rainbow sausages and just... drop them in there. There's also you can
just stop.
No, I
just
got a, stop. I got a great one now.
Yes.
So that if you want to attract Gen Z because Gen Z the kids love the gay tranny stuff. They wake up every day. How can we be more gay tranny? You have to have transitional entrees. So what this means is that you order a steak, and then sometime between the kitchen and the table, it becomes a Caesar salad, and you have to accept it. Otherwise, you're a cis bigot.
Yeah, you
doesn't just, that no. See, that's perfect though, because you're relevant.
Man, your definition and my definition
with the times,
perfect,
you know,
are very different.
No. This is exactly what they need to boost sales, get the kids in, and become relevant again.
I think you're decreasing sales on our podcast.
You know, and you can't argue. Say like you're lactose intolerant or you're allergic to something, and you ordered one thing, it transitioned and came out as something else. You have to eat it. Because otherwise you're a bigot. So it doesn't matter if you're allergic or lactose intolerant. Because if you refuse to accept what your original order has transitioned into, then we have a problem, and you need to go to re-education.
Wow. How about
so that's my plan to save Cracker Barrel, and let's.
I think I gotta, that Cracker Barrels would be best served if they stuck to their original design.
Yeah, stick to the basics.
You go to Cracker Barrel for a nostalgic experience.
It's comfort
of
food.
The good old days, comfort food, yeah. Fried stuff, breakfasts, and
right.
Steaks and all those things, and find ways to make that more attractive. Make it less expensive. That'd be one way.
That would be nice, yeah.
Not sure that most states have the minimum wage mandate like California does. So I'm not sure that Cracker Barrel could make it in California anymore. But in the other states where they can pay a competitive wage, where the company can still make a profit, that's great. Problem with all restaurants, they're getting so much more expensive,
mm-hmm.
which is odd because the president told us the economy
is doing great. Yeah.
So... No, I think there's a way for Cracker Barrel to move forward and continue because there's a bunch of people who are going to always love it.
Oh, for sure.
If I still lived near it, we'd go all the time still.
Yeah, the only one I've been to
I love biscuits and gravy.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that, but I like a lot of other stuff that they serve. My wife and I went to one in Texas. And
well, they have all kinds of traditional breakfasts.
Yes, but it was a very nice experience, and I enjoyed it a lot. And their stock, by the way, is down today. And let's, you know, when the New York Post says the stock is plummeting, I think that's a little bit of an exaggeration because it was before the investors call here that it's referring to, they were at $49 a share. Now they're down to 45. That's really not terrible. I mean, it's a drop and the drops aren't good, but it's certainly not the sell-off.
Well, the pessimistic side of me says maybe this lady's brighter than we're giving her credit for, and she did it on purpose in order to get the stock to drop for a reason. And there's probably a whole bunch of other things playing into this. And
I don't know.
And they've got a plan to rebrand and come out. And
yeah, I just...
They're going to transition themselves.
And when you really look at her comments, it's really not... They're really not that terrible. It's just me playing this up and trying to be...
Oh, so the naked cruelty's back.
No, I'm giving a peek behind the curtain. It's like, I'm just making fun of her just to make fun of her. It's like, I actually, you know, the stock hasn't fallen that badly. It's really not the disaster the New York Post claims it is.
Well, yeah, but you've got stockholders probably who are not, have zero excitement in losing $4 a share.
Well, exactly. And then to hear the CEO say, no, we're not relevant anymore. It's like, well, yeah, okay. It's like, is it because people don't like what you're doing or they don't like how you're doing it or what, you know, let's solve the problem.
She might be motivating the troops. There could be any number of reasons why she's doing it.
Yeah, could be.
But. I disagree. Still relevant because mm-hmm. people like nostalgia.
Exactly.
And everybody wants to taste tradition every once in a while. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you had mentioned how great the economy is from the Washington Post. After a spurt of optimism, Americans are feeling a little more glum about the economy again. Consumer sentiment, a gauge of Americans...
They disagreed with the president?
Yeah.
How dare they?
Consumer sentiment at a six-month low, according to a closely watched index by the University of Michigan. The measure notched its biggest drop since 2021, reflecting the persistent tug of inflation on household budgets and fueling fears that rising prices, unemployment, and interest rates could all worsen in the coming months. But I thought we had the greatest economy ever.
Well, unless you use actual facts, like things that can be measured.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I go to the grocery store
and
everything's more expensive.
Yeah.
I go to the restaurant, everything's more expensive. Mm-hmm. I buy an airplane ticket. I rent a car. I mean, any number of things. Gas.
Everything that should be down is up.
Yeah.
And everything that should be up is down. And it's like.
You know, the problem is they've normalized the bad economy so much that it's feeling regular for mm-hmm. them. Oh, yeah, over $6 a gallon for gas. Yeah, it's kind of normal. It's been that way for 6 months, 9 months, year and a half, 3 years, whatever.
Been a little bit longer.
Oh, I was driving this weekend. And we'll buy a gas station, and gas was over six something.
Well, go to the Shell on the corner here. Their premium is like over $7 now.
Well, all the Shells in our area where we live are owned by the same family.
Mm.
And I pretty much don't shop
yeah.
my gas at those because they're always 30 to 40%,
right.
40 cents per gallon more expensive.
Yeah,
so
I don't go there either.
I go to the local downtown old-fashioned mom-and-pop gas station. I can save off Main Street.
Right.
I can save sometimes 80 cents mm-hmm. compared to other gas stations in the area, you know, and they even beat Costco. Mm-hmm. So, which is a shout out to Costco.
Yeah.
I love Costco, and they're trying to keep their prices down
right.
for a lot of things. So,
well, they're trying.
And I like buying in bulk. So,
yeah. The pessimism
I can throw half of it away.
Yeah.
a month later. Gone bad.
The pessimism altering consumer spending habits. McDonald's, Home Depot, Under Armour, Starbucks all recently reported disappointing earnings as people cut back on fast food, kitchen renovations, sneakers, and afternoon lattes. So,
wouldn't those be signs? Those are signs that the economy's bad.
Yeah.
Which is great news for us going into the election in November.
Well, yeah, it is. Yeah, you don't want to dip at election time, because then it's too easy for the other side that's out of power to say, hey, look, this is their fault. We can fix it.
Well, and the current guy can't remember the current state of the economy. Probably he's just remembering from years ago or something.
Probably.
He's probably remembering from about 4 years ago when the economy was actually good and trying to take credit for it.
That's right.
So, which we got to talk about that a little bit, because the trial closing arguments ended yesterday.
That's true.
Prosecution closing argument went 5 hours.
Oh, wow. Okay, hold that thought, because we got to take a break, and we'll get back to that right after this. Drake and Scott on Radioslot.com, back with you. No Ziggy today, not because he's off anywhere, but we couldn't record on our normal day this week. So
that day job gets in the way, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, believe you me. So what we want to talk about...
We were talking about the trial, but we never named the trial.
Yeah,
so for the people that are... wonder what we're talking about is the former president had this six-week trial?
About
I think
that.
It was a six-week trial.
Yeah.
And so it was wrapping up yesterday, and of course, both sides are calling the other side hogwash.
Mm-hmm.
But the closing argument prosecuting attorney spent 5 hours in his closing argument.
Yeah, that's insane. I mean, how are you as a jury supposed to keep track of all that?
Well, I think it's a line from Shakespeare. Where it says, "Methinks thou protest too loudly."
Mm-hmm.
If you have to talk about it for 5 hours to try and make your point.
Right.
Then the question is, did you really make your point?
Exactly.
You had 6 weeks
yeah.
to make your point. And you can't like pare it down to where somebody can digest it in a little bit. That's a problem.
Yeah.
I think someone needs to go back to law school and figure out how to summarize.
Right. And they had a couple of lousy witnesses. Stormy Daniels did them no favors. Cohen basically admitted to stealing money on the stand.
Well, he called himself a liar, a thief, all that kind of stuff. It's like, well, have you considered the source then? I mean, is he a credible witness if he's agreeing to all this stuff? How do we know he's not doing it now?
Yeah, right.
Just to get back at his former boss.
And, well, that's what it seemed like.
Yeah.
And you're not the only one to say that. But, yeah, it – so unless
– So here's what I observe, right? On the left, the people that want – him convicted, there's so much statements and arguments. I mean, everybody's talking like so much on the former president's side. It's all a little quick. No, that's not true. Mm-hmm. No, that didn't happen. No, they're twisting it. It's like one side is talking way too much, which makes me feel, I mean, most of my experience with just humans, when they talk a lot, they're overselling. And then I wonder, do you actually believe it yourself? Because if you believe it yourself, you wouldn't have to sell me so hard. Are you selling yourself on this?
Right.
Or are you trying to sell me on it? Because,
I understand.
Right?
Yes, I get it. And I think you're right. But
I've yet to know how long the defense attorney spoke in his closing argument.
Well, we could look that up, but the jury...
It wasn't 5 hours.
No. And the one headline I looked at during the break, it is now in the jury's hands. So the deliberations have begun. It is very tough to talk about this because it's going to air on Saturday. We're recording it on Wednesday the 29th. So by the time you hear this on Radio Slot, we could have a verdict already. By the time you're listening on the other areas where this program airs, we could also have a verdict. So
who knows how long the deliberation goes, right?
Yeah, if it goes quickly, then I guess that's...
By next week, we'll be able to talk about it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure, next week, yeah.
I don't know. If deliberation goes as long, you know, comparatively... as the closing argument went, I mean, we could be
we could have something
a week or more.
They could say something by this afternoon, in which case it will all be done. And but yeah, that's why I'm not saying much, and I'm hedging my bets on that one because it's hard to talk about
And you see Robert De Niro's out there.
Oh goodness,
in front of a microphone spewing.
And he got heckled like crazy. That was
he sounded downright irrational.
Mm-hmm. They all do. Everybody with TDS does.
Well, it's a bad look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just getting the video ready of the ladies screaming in the forest.
That can't be good.
Well, no, we might as well switch over to that because it kind of does. It might tie in with Trump. It might not. I don't think it does. But we have a group of women here that have spent about $4,000 to scream and beat the ground with sticks somewhere in the forest in an odd form of therapy. And this was going out. Whoops, I need to turn our music off. But this was going out over...
If a lady beats sticks in a forest, does it make a sound? Right? If a tree falls in the wood and nobody's there, does it make a sound?
Or if a man talks in the forest, is he still wrong? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, exactly.
I guess they need the sticks to fight off the bears. But anyway, so I'm just going to run the audio here, and then I'll explain why.
Oh, no.
I think it's important. I think it is important.
I know, but I think I'm going to be in pain.
No, you're not.
Oh, really?
No, I don't think so.
All right, let's go.
So hopefully we can hear what everybody's saying. But so it's a lot of screaming. Now they're hitting the ground with the sticks.
Wow.
Yeah. So. So it.
Is this like scream therapy or something? Like, let it all out?
Yeah.
I hope they feel better.
I hope so too. It's a $4,000 wellness retreat called the Rage Ritual Retreat. And everybody, I shouldn't say everybody, but
I can make $4,000 a person if I hold a retreat out in the forest and give them sticks.
Yeah.
And just get them to scream and yell about stuff.
Right. But did you notice that the leader of the group was yelling out, how do you feel?
We'll be taking registrations next week.
That's right. Okay, fine. Let's I'm trying to be.
I already have six dates on the calendar.
For once, I'm trying to be serious and you're trying to make a buck.
Well, I mean. What's scary is these people are making money off this.
Well, it testifies to the, you know, mental health in this country is awful. I mean, people are going through.
Go see a counselor. I know that. It'll be way cheaper.
Exactly. Right. But that's the thing. People are afraid to do that. We are not taught that that is okay. We got to keep it in. We got to not talk about it. We got to be tough. And when you do that and you don't process your trauma or things that happen to you, because some people go through some stuff.
Yeah,
and so, you know, and when you don't deal with it, you end up screaming in the forest and beating the ground with sticks because you've got so much stuff pent up that it does come out in a rage ritual, if you will. And you had the leader of the group asking the women there, you know, how do you feel? And I don't know if it came out over the audio because it was subtitled.
I feel sad.
I feel afraid. You know, this on Twitter, everybody was saying that, oh, this is a bunch of liberal women mad at Trump. And I'm like, no, it's not. Because we've had the screaming at the sky.
I heard nothing
things.
Political in that
right.
clip at all.
Exactly. And these are people that have had some stuff happen to them, and it's unprocessed trauma, and this is so far the only way that they found that they can get it, you know, release that when, they should have been seeking help before.
Well, hey, good for them. Good for them.
Yeah.
Like, if this helps and this works and they have the money to spend and it starts them on their path to wellness, I'm fully supportive.
Absolutely.
I would love for it to progress into they get one-on-one in front of an actual MFT who can talk through what is causing all these secondary emotions. Because what we heard them screaming and yelling about were secondary emotions.
Mm-hmm.
There were causes, right? Triggers.
Things.
Well, we call them triggers.
Right. Well, right? Things have happened. And some traumatic event has taken place that they haven't processed.
Yeah. There was an event, and their response to that event was somehow negative. It was either their thinking or it was an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And when they can start talking about that, they'll make progress.
Now, that goes back to my original point here where people are, you know, getting therapy and help for things is not a first response. Why is it that we all tend to grow up with the idea of, you know, shake it off, stiff upper lip, you know, be brave and don't talk about it. Don't be weak and talk about it. Why is it that?
Well, it's very modern Western culture.
Okay, and why is that? Why is?
Because we're a country that was founded on independence and fight for your own thing, and mm-hmm. you know, the strong, intelligent individual, and what can you accomplish? And I can be anything I want to be. And we've sold some pseudo lies to people. You know, you could be the president of the United States if you, you know, if you worked hard at it, you could be this, you could do that. And it was probably late high school, early college, where I started questioning some of that. It's like, wait a minute, if I want to dunk a basketball, there's pretty much nothing I can do to get to that. I'm just not tall enough. The physics, the physiology, mm-hmm. there are just some hard limits at certain things where you're just not going to do it, right? If you're not designed to be a good swimmer, you're probably never going to be a really good deep sea diver, right? If you're not good at mechanics and things, are you going to be a good welder? We have giftings, and if we play to the giftings, that's great. Mm-hmm. If we start acting like, well, no, I can accomplish anything, well, then when you fail, something's wrong with you, because Brian told me that I could do anything mm-hmm. that I wanted. If I just work hard, if I practice, right? If I get 10,000 hours at something, you still might be average. Mm-hmm. And you can see examples of this anywhere. You find somebody who's really good at something and watch them at their craft, it's amazing. It's mm-hmm. why people go to concerts.
Yeah.
And it's why not everybody has a concert.
That's
because
true.
Because somebody won't, no one will go.
Right.
Right? And there's people that I've seen who have concerts, and I look and I think, I don't get it. Mm-hmm. But there's a good segment of the population who like them and want to hear them and go and pay money. I'm never going to a retreat for $4,000 so I can beat sticks on the ground and scream and yell.
Yeah.
But if it works for them.
Well, yeah. And it
works for them.
It just makes me feel bad that that's what
it's. But I refuse to say there's something wrong with me because I won't do that or can't do that.
Right. Well, it's because you're smart enough to know that if you need help with something, you have resources and you can go and get it. So do I. These people obviously have reached a point where that's their only outlet. And that's what bothers me, is that when you talk about solving your own problems and being tough and taking care of things, I mean, going to get help with something is actually plays into that, to where you are taking, you know, where you are big enough to say, I can't deal with this alone. I need some help. And then you go and find it.
Well, so back to the question, you know, modern Western culture said you got to be independent. You got to solve things on your own. And, mm-hmm. and that's somehow great. Well, you've just thrown team theory out. Like, what if I had a bunch of resources and people around me and we collaborated, cooperated, could we accomplish more? Most of the time you find yes, right? But there's a lot of little phrases that play into that. You know, if you want something done right, mm-hmm. do it yourself. Why?
Yeah, I know.
Then I'm alone. I'm less efficient.
Yeah.
If I'm digging a hole and I can find another person to grab a shovel, mm-hmm. the hole gets dug more faster. Quickly.
Yeah. And the whole, you know, if you want it done right thing, well, what if you're not doing it right? You're still doing it yourself and it's going to be wrong, but you think it's right. So I guess that's. Yeah.
Well, and that comes into the other piece that we've promoted as a country, is that your own perspective is right because mm-hmm. it's your own perspective. No one can tell you you're wrong.
Right.
Well, at some point, if you can figure out something has failed to work, then you can move on mm-hmm. or you can try harder.
Yeah.
But what's that phrase? If you keep doing what you've been doing and expect a different result.
Mm-hmm. That's insanity.
Right.
Which is another.
It's a sign of maturity. If you can figure out what works and what doesn't work and then figure out how to do what works mm-hmm. more often, that's called progress.
Yeah.
And progressives have forgotten the definition of their title.
Sure.
If you want to make progress, do something that actually works mm-hmm. rather than trying to change.
Right.
Things
change
that
everything
are
and make everybody
irrational.
Follow your own point of view. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
That's why.
Anyway, I wanted to definitely talk about that because I saw something there that this was not. This was not a bunch of liberal women screaming about Trump. There was something a whole lot more going on here.
I didn't hear him in it anywhere.
No.
And I would imagine a lot of them are upset about relationships or loss of job or
I think it was deeper.
Physical condition, illness that they can't.
I think it goes deeper than that. I think this is all kinds of stuff. I mean, I know it is, but just based on that level of anger and emotion, I mean, these ladies have gone through some stuff, and it's a little bit more than that. But
I think it's a lot more than that.
Yeah,
Trump derangement syndrome can't create that that level of there's things that are more important to everybody.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, you're not. I mean, the folks who wanted to get together and yell about Trump, they were doing that on their own time. They weren't paying $4,000. This is a whole other ball game. So, but yeah, you know, if you're dealing with something, get some help. It does not make you a feeb, and it'll actually help. Trust me.
I've
been there myself.
I have less than 3 MFTs that I reference regularly, mm-hmm. just for clarity.
Yeah.
Make sure, hey, is this rational or irrational? What do you think about this?
Yeah.
And sometimes just a good sounding board,
mm-hmm.
right? Which I have a myriad of other people that I bounce things off of.
Right.
And they're like, they get mad. Like, why'd you throw that at me? I want to see if it would bounce off.
So. Okay. Well, we got to take a break. We'll be back for our post-game wrap-up right after this. Greg and Scott on RadioSlot.com, back with our final segment, our final Ziggyless segment for this episode. You should be back with us next week.
I miss him.
Yeah.
Because he adds perspective.
Sometimes, yeah.
Which is our post-game report brought to you by Perspective.
Ah.
Right?
So
when you switch from naked cruelty to compassion,
mm-hmm.
you've changed a perspective.
Right.
So it's a sign of maturity to be able to change perspective or see something from someone else's perspective, right? You look at De Niro. He has no compassion for Trump, mm-hmm. and he is looking at things from only his perspective. I think these ladies in the forest banging the sticks on the ground is a great example of, you know, part of the way we look at it is negative, and then we can transition our perspective and have some compassion and say, mm-hmm. wait, if this is therapeutic for them and actually helps, and it's a good starting point for them, or it's a closure for them, maybe we look at it from their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Perspective plays in too with the individuality thing that we were talking about as well. You know, if you can get a team around you, you can get other opinions around you, different set of eyes looking at the same thing, they're going to help you see what parts of your belief system or feelings are irrational.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think people have trouble with is wait, my thinking's wrong. Wait, you can't say that my emotions are wrong.
Well, it's like falling down right where the protagonist at the end is like, I'm the bad guy. You know, sometimes you have to admit that maybe you're not on the right path.
Yeah. Hey, it's me. I'm the problem. Yeah. It's me.
That's right.
Right? So I think that's what people love about Taylor Swift so much. Finally got to say her name.
That's right, because
we won the contest last week.
We did. Right? Well, I think we won it the week before.
She has a really amazing ability to project a perspective that other people recognize and can relate to. And I think she actually helps people think about things differently.
Okay.
Which is brilliant, because mm-hmm. when you can entertain options, then we're moving beyond right and wrong, black and white, and we can give space to other people.
Sure.
Which is kind of another definition for compassion.
Right on.
So
now when you say, gee, I've changed my perspective, it's like, no, it's like, wait a minute, I'm not always, you know, in naked cruelty mode. I mean, a lot of that is just for this little vaudeville act we're doing. And most of the time, I can be pretty level-headed, but I like to be outrageous and play things up. And
My point was that when you have the ability
mm-hmm.
to stand in someone else's shoes for a moment or entertain their emotion
right.
and listen to what they're trying to own or project, you give value to that person mm-hmm. and you give yourself a chance to self-evaluate.
Yeah.
Right.
It
helps you work on your own self-awareness.
Well, make sure you work on stuff before you end up in the middle of the forest banging sticks on the ground, because That is not my preferred way. A temper tantrum
once in a while is therapeutic, right?
I guess. I don't. So it's been a while.
Scott's third tea brought to you today by therapy. Right. Find a way to help yourself entertain other options.
All right. Well, we missed a couple things. We got to get to our 20 ways American history is repeating itself. We'll hit that next week.
And some of them are good.
Well, it's not so much that some of them are good. It's just that there is good news within these repetitive things that are going on. At least that's the pattern.
You said the same thing I said.
I'm
looking forward to how it differentiates in your mind, though, because I want to see your perspective next week.
Okay, next week. And we will do that with Ziggy, hopefully. And I guess that's it for this week. Drake and Scott, Radioslot.com. Thank you very much for listening.
Peace.
And it's time for Mary to throw her hat in the air.